Hey, welcome back to the show that doesn't exist to my wife. It's last week on Keith and the Girl. Well, I'm your host, Rod, the second most listened to host currently, apparently, by one listen. All right. And as always, I'm
here. Do you not listen when Karen's the host so that your number's a little bit higher?
I always listen because I always support my wife.
Okay.
But now that you give me that idea, you know. yeah, I'm here with your faves, as y'all can hear. It's Keith and Hemda. What's going on, y'all?
Hello. Happy steak and blowjob after day. I'm sure we're all hungover from the festivities.
Imagine coincidentally Hemda had like a sore throat. Like, hey guys.
turns out your father was right.
Like in Valentine's Day, you give, you know, it's we understand it's for the ladies. But right. The ladies do a little something back sometimes. Like, does he give you lozenges in the morning? Like, hey.
You know, if you guys want to give each other pointers, you can get in touch.
All right.
But no, I didn't get lozenges. Okay. There was other stuff.
You know, I've never celebrated steak and blowjob day, or I guess had it celebrated on me. Is that, I don't know what the correct.
You never got down with it?
Yeah, it just wasn't my thing. But we don't do Valentine's either, so.
There you go. Know,
it would have felt unfair to be like, anyway.
Yeah, you do the second one, not the first one. That's pagan shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Just begging for a divorce. Yeah. anyway, live from the podcast Dick Expo, politics aside, I'm happy to be here with our rhetorical question of the week.
Yes.
What's the big deal? Mm. That's right. It's, you know, a lot of good stuff happened this week. I had a lot of good guests, two specifically. And it was a milestone, 16 years of podcasting. Wow, that flew by, didn't it? I mean, it's like it was just yesterday I was listening to you guys and I was at work trapped in a cubicle and y'all were my escape. And now look at me. It only took 16 years for me to be on the big stage, y'all.
It's weird. Yes and no. And it's weird. How long has the Black Guy with Tips been going? That's no joke.
11 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
11 years. So it's like, yeah, you still recognize what a Monday is, but then at the same time, you look back and the kids are grown.
It is. Yeah. And y'all have a lot of kids that are grown, a lot of kid listeners who are like,
right, literally,
I started
right.
off listening to you in preschool and now look at me. I'm an attorney or whatever, you know, like right. accomplished people. Do y'all ever feel like that? Like you helped raise a generation of podcast listeners at this point?
Kind of. I mean, there are people who write to me and call me mom. So I accept, you know what I mean? Like I get that. Also, there are people who are 16 years old who have been listening since they were born because their parents have just been playing us. So that's weird to think about too. People who are just in their early 30s who have listened from the beginning, you do that math. That's kind of weird, but like it's all weird in a great way. So, and I feel like my adult life has been weird in a great way in general. Like that's a great sentence to describe my adult life. So it's satisfying.
Yeah, and y'all used to have podcast kids, right? Bruno,
right.
Sexy Potato with an E.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, yeah. Y'all literally have been through it. Y'all have raised some people's kids.
You're welcome.
Can you imagine we get a letter from the government?
Y'all get hit up for child support.
Who knows? Hey,
so
you owe them 10 bits a week. Like bites.
And I mean, y'all's podcast anniversary is almost the same time as Appiah's actual birthday. So it's like.
That's significant.
Synergy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That tells you something. I'm not sure what, but maybe we'll find out before our 20-year anniversary.
Let me mention, in case somebody isn't in the know, Appiah is on our forums. And she's the greatest forums member of all time, of course, because she could have no relation to a specific topic that somebody brought up in any way. And she's got such a fact opinion And she'll even say, like, hey, I know. How would I know this about being in a gay relationship? But I got a fucking clue. Here's the answer. Send. Ah, the best. The best. I love opinionated people. And she's top of the charts.
Yep. She's always delivering.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to appreciate her. She's like the male person. Just always delivering.
Mm-hmm.
Rain, sleet, snow, gay relationship.
I have an opinion on the weather. Right.
Taking naked pictures, showing your ass.
Yeah, she wrote. So, did you see that? By the way, she wrote something about. I guess I don't know. It was thirst traps or, you know, Insta girl stuff, and she wrote like, I have this job. You know, I work in the pharmaceuticals. It's more a German accent, but work in the pharmaceuticals, and I can't post that. I've seen your ass. She goes, well, that was the Forbes. That was an exclusive. I'm like, I'm just saying. Little judging going around knowing I can draw your ass pipe.
Ah, the old ass pipe.
Okay.
Did you just see today?
I'm not complaining.
Did you just see today on Twitter the cum pipe was trending for the beginning of the morning?
Is this Black Twitter?
No, it was just Twitter. It was trending.
I didn't come across it, no.
What the fuck?
I my trendings are Woody Allen, Cuomo.
You know what though? Sometimes I did notice. Sometimes if I check Twitter super early in the morning, I'm like, oh, the weirdest shit is trending. Yeah. Weird shit. Mess with your kids day randomly. Like, what will happen if I fart in this corner? And it's just like no one else is doing anything else. It's almost like nothing else is trending too. But then it hits a time where people start getting like normal people awake, mm-hmm. and the trend will change.
Yeah, it's back to the Oscars. One,
like regular normal shit will start trending. And then sometimes because I caught it, I'm like, oh, Keith, you saw that trending. And he says no.
Right.
And that's because it's the weird early morning trend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Super different, wackier, not as... I'm not going to say trending things are important, but the early morning things are not important at all. But they're like, but people are 100% into it. It's not even like peripherally. Right. It's like, oh, you want to pretend like we're giving kids shit in their hands? All of a sudden, every single mom is posting. Like, I remember this one. They're asking their kids to get them toilet paper, and then they're pretending like there's shit on their hand, and they've touched the kid's hand as they're trying to get
it. I saw that, yeah.
And it's chocolate.
And it's chocolate and whatever, and we're seeing the kids' response to this. And I am seeing, like, this is what you're willing to do to your kids to get a like.
Yeah.
That is so disgusting and disturbing. And the kids, some of them are obviously like, they never have gotten shit on their own hand because they're so clean and so like that they are having nervous breakdowns and the parents are laughing. And I'm like, you guys need to sleep a little more.
I could
just a little.
I could see it reminds me of like those Kimmel tricks. And maybe this was one of those. I don't know. But where they, you know, he goes, hey, parents, act like you ate all the Halloween candy. So to me, sometimes like it's funny because fuck them. And then other times the kid's like, you put shit in my hand. Fuck you, mom. And I'm like, why did you post that? There's bigger problems. You ate all my candy, you cunt. Why is that funny?
I think that a lot, man. There was a guy who did an exercise the other day where he was like one of these hardcore, you know, these motherfuckers that might as well be doing parkour when they're working out, those right. guys. And he had like three dumbbells on the ground. And then he's like, he's got his legs on a bench and he's taking a dumbbell in his hand. He's like laying it on top of the other one. And he does like another one and does a push up and then another one. And then he misses the last one, hits his head into the fucking dumbbell.
Good.
And then like, but you posted it. Like, it's like, yes, good. And the karma of it is like, ah, you fucking show off. But then I'm like, but then you hit send after you did this. What is the psychology of that?
See, I like it because it's like, you know what? Goofy's also okay. You know, you didn't do it to somebody else. You're showing, you know how I have this perfect schedule and perfect regimen and all this stuff. I also fall on my face. I like it. It's humbling. There's a humility to it. It's fantastic.
I like that first part but I don't like that it leads to a half blog, which is like, and we must never give up. Because like Rocky said, and I'm like, okay, you hit your head. That's all.
I feel like it's the difference between like y'all telling us about him to hurting her leg on her bike on the show, and then him to live, you know, like live telling us on Instagram, like, oh my God, look at my leg right now. Right. It's so fucked up. Like, there's a weird chemistry in the brain that makes you be the person that goes and send. Y'all got to see this shit.
Right.
All right. Let's get into these shows. Okay?
It just gets harder and harder, though, because I can do that parkour stuff, and it gets harder and harder to show it, and you're not just bragging. So I'm like, oh, look.
Oh, yeah.
I broke something. Ha, 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 ha.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. The way you've been in the gym with Kyle and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, episode 3,381. Oh, my God.
Finally broke the 3380 barrier. Everybody's been talking about it.
It's time to celebrate, okay? 16 years down. This is a retro episode, and it felt appropriate because it was just you guys celebrating what you have created and the 16 years of creating it.
Did it seem too much? I listened back, and it didn't bother me at all, and I'm like, you know, I don't normally aren't like proud like this per se, but did it seem like, Keith, we get it?
No, and here's why. One, you guys don't really celebrate yourselves that much in general. Like, you know, y'all also have problems with us celebrating you, you know, whenever it's like, oh, you guys so often, I wouldn't even have started my show without you. It's like, all right, calm down. We suck. Or it's like, all right. Sorry to love you. I think 16 years as an anniversary, I think once a year you get to be self-indulgent and be like, we're kind of the shit. And I know that's what everyone listening thinks. Like, we didn't listen to this journey to be like, they all right. Like, we also think y'all are the shit. So, you know, I didn't feel like y'all were like shit talking anyone else. It wasn't, you know, like, we're so great. Fuck you listeners. Like, you know, it was beautiful. I loved it. Celebrate it.
Thank you.
You know, you think you're going to be on your deathbed like, fuck, man, I celebrated myself too much.
Oh, how many times? 25 days over 25 years?
Once a year, I would eat nice and talk to my coworker about what we built. No, man, I really wish I had those 25 days back.
Should I have ordered that extra appetizer? Seemed a little much.
Yeah. but you brought up something about being nervous when you go out to that dinner, and it's interesting because sometimes I think that when Karen and I just go out to regular dinner, because we do the show 5 days a week, and right. I'm like, oh yeah, what the fuck would we talk about? Normal people talk about, you know, pop culture and current events and shit when they go to that dinner, and then we're gonna be here like, so did you see the thing? Yes, I saw the thing. Oh, yeah.
You were right there. I saw the thing. I saw the thing with you.
You showed me the thing. Yes, I forgot the thing. It wasn't that crazy. It was crazy. Sometimes people get weirded out because we'll go out to just a regular dinner, not an anniversary or celebration dinner. And we'll just be on our tablets or something. And people are like, oh, my God.
All right.
Married couples. I mean, you should talk. We are always looking at our devices. And I just want to hand him a card to the podcast. Like, listen, motherfucker, we talk. Okay.
I remember also notice that your conversation is us.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean? You're welcome.
You guys don't have anything to talk about either. Yeah. I remember when I was like 15 or longer, I guess, like somewhere around 20 years ago, I was doing this, 1 week camp thing because Jews would have the time off for Passover and they'd go to this upstate thing and they would dump their kids with the hotel camp, which is me. So I did that a couple times. And I remember seeing this couple and they were just kind of leaning on each other and reading. And a fellow camp counselor was like, oh my God, kill me if my husband and I in the future are just sitting there bored so much with each other that they're reading. And I was like, oh, I guess that's a way to look at it. But another way to look at it is look at them doing the thing they want to do. And they get to like lean on each other while they're doing it. So romantic. And I didn't have the answer or anything at the moment, but I'm like, they have to talk all the time. Like, they have to talk all the time. Every time they're in a room, they have to find conversation to talk with each other. How about if they're reading maybe the same book so that they could talk about later, or books that they like so that they don't have to talk all the time? Can you imagine talking to someone all the time?
It's so much. That would be so much pressure. And like, as the person on our show that comes up with the topics, you'd be also show planning your life, right?
Because
I need some topics for tonight. You know, it's like you go out to the anniversary of the podcast dinner, and then like Keith pulls out his papers and all right. So
it would have been weird if I did take notes, right?
Harvey Weinstein. Did you see what he's getting into?
Well, I loved so much that kind of happened to feel the same way. Yeah. And I don't know how much I've even thought about this, but for example, good friends with our pal, Brother Love, and I talked to him the other day, but I'm like, we don't talk on the phone necessarily. And I'm like, what the fuck are we going to talk about? And the next thing you know, we're talking, obviously. But yeah, that was the poll too. Do you get a little nervous before chatting with a friend? I thought people would just say we're dorks. 80% say yeah. And I get it. And good. More people should be. Yeah, be a little, and they go, oh, I'm an idiot. But that should happen to you constantly. I think it's healthy.
It also means you give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like when you stop being even a little nervous, you know, of that social interaction, it's because you don't care, you know, when you're just like, I don't give a fuck what we talk about, you know, because it's not like I get nervous when the fucking telemarketer calls me, right? I'm just, fuck you, get off my phone, bitch, click. Right. So, you know, you talk to your, you know, family. It's just what kind of nerves, you know, that nice anticipation, or is it that, oh my God, I don't want to talk to them, anxiety? I think those are two different things.
Right.
I should have told Keith my vinegar rub chicken recipe.
Mm-hmm. Because I threw out 17 pounds of vinegar from old Blue Aprons, right?
Yeah, and a lot of rubs, and I had a secret vinegar rub chicken recipe.
Does it take a gallon of vinegar?
Yeah, it would have knocked your socks off, man.
It's tiny just bottles, one at a time.
Let me know.
Okay. You should have sold it to hotels. I'm sure they need baby bottles of something.
Just called my 17 bottles of chicken. 17.
So I still got the rubs.
I'll see what steps. I can do. I'll see what I can do. Harry and Meghan interview. I love Keith. How didn't you know?
Right,
but here's the thing I was thinking: how does anyone who gets divorced not know? You just motherfuckers be in love, man. It's stupid. It make people dumb.
I get that, but the relationship, your lover would make me dumb, right? You're blind to them. You're not blind to this whole establishment.
I wouldn't think. She grew up in Compton, right? I grew up Charlotte, North Carolina, whatever. I don't know shit about the royal. I have learned more about the royal family in the last week.
But he doesn't. They never sat down. And I'm still on her side. Don't get me wrong. But they never. Yeah, he never. Harry never sat her down. The two of them, and like, what do you have to do? You're an actress. You're a go getter. It wasn't. You had to work to get suits, and that's a BTV show at best. So you have drive, and your career's starting up. So what you're going to do now is none of that passion, and you're going to be a doll.
That's what I wonder. In both ways,
D-U-L-L and D-O-L-L. You have no personality. You just have to exude the charm but not have a real opinion. Can you do that, baby? I love you so much, yeah. And maybe it's like our secret. We're on vacation all the time. How didn't that conversation ever happen?
That's what I wonder is, one, did it happen or did it not happen? If it doesn't happen, I look at Harry more. I think especially with because, you know, on the other level, it's this kind of interracial relationship. I think this shit happens a lot with mixed cultural relationships where it's just like, I've grown up with this family. It'll be cool. You know, they love me. They'll love you. They'll do the things. And some of the stuff they have done for other spouses, right? Like she specifically talked about how like, they would shut down rumors whenever something happened with Kate or whatever. But for her, they were just like, hey, it's tough all over, isn't it? And it's like, well, Harry told me y'all know how to shut this down.
Right.
is crazy to me too. Oh, well, anyway.
Bippity plop. No. You want a jester in your room?
Right. May I take you on a little BoJack journey, please?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Princess Carolyn, who is a cat and also an agent manager, you know, and she started dating Stu, who I believe his name is Stu. Who cares?
What he's is a he? Mouse. It's important. He's a mouse.
Okay. He's a mouse. Yes.
Like Stuart Little.
A little controversial, okay. But we made it happen.
Right.
Now she's
Where would they make their home? Apparently in Hollywood.
Now, he's part of the Stilton family. Hilton.
Okay.
The Stilton family. She's going over to his place to meet the parents who are very, 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 very rich. And she happens to go on a holiday for mice. Okay, what is this holiday? It's something about, who knows? But all of a sudden, they start singing the very special holiday song. Death to cats, and cats are the worst. And if you like a cat, you're stupid. And she's like, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, it's just a holiday. You know, you forget that you say these words because you kind of say funny. Them over and over again. She's like, why didn't you tell me that your family is celebrating this racist fucking holiday? And he's like, it didn't really occur to me because, you know, you just kind of like are saying the words and the kids are jumping on the table like, I am the worst cat. My name's this guy cat. And You know, and obviously they're drawing, you know, right. This whole thing. But
and it felt that way when I saw the interview, because there's like a part where Megan's talking to Oprah and Oprah's doing her whole like, oh, girl, this is crazy. What? Right. They did what? Even though, you know, she knew right. from the pre-interview and shit, but she's so good. Right. But, it's like they said, what about the baby? Like, it was so good. But then
that's not right.
There's
no,
so
Oprah,
memes,
it's not right.
Right. There's all these memes and shit of her being like, oh my God.
Like she ever right. like she ever respected the royal family. Right. You know, like Oprah gave a fuck.
Right. The fact that you're doing this interview is a direct shot at the royal family, yes. Right? Because you're like, we're about to talk shit about you, and I'm right. gonna pretend to be shocked that y'all are a racist institution that goes back hundreds of years and right. have only had white people in it. But what I was funny was when Harry came out. He did seem genuinely surprised that his family was racist. Mm. Like, he kept being like, well, they wouldn't give my child, like, they wouldn't give our child a title. They wouldn't give me security anymore.
No, he's stupid. I'm calling him stupid. No, yeah. you do not know that your parents are a racist. Okay. Now, Xerxes and I have not met each other's parents. Why? Because you're not going to. And if you are, understand they're going to be maybe on their best behavior, or maybe they might say the worst thing ever. And you should know they'll never like you. Mm. The end. But if you're willing to like go around that, then you're welcome to come. But I'm not going either. So I don't know what we're doing.
So it'd be weird if you just went. But yeah. Anyways.
And the thing is that we both know that, you know, right. and we don't say things like, yeah, but she's going to love me because everyone's parents love me. And right. we go like, yeah, they pretend to, you'd be great, they're, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, they are side jabbing you and you will understand it, whether it's in a language that you speak or not. You mm-hmm. know what the N-word is in every language when right. somebody uses it. Yeah, no, I don't. What's he so surprised at? They've never said that. You know what it is? He's surprised that they're saying that in quote mixed company now.
Right.
And because usually they know how to best behavior. So he's not surprised at their feelings. You know, I mean, I get maybe no one raised you but the nanny. So you never, mm-hmm. but like, look into your parents' eyes. You know if they're racist.
I think the twist for him. Is that I think white dudes feel like people are kind of like, these are my people. They're protected by my aura. So they might not respect my wife, but they have to respect me. So by yes. proxy, they have to respect you. And they were like, no, the fuck we don't. No, we are racist. That's what right. we about over here. And he was like, oh, so y'all racist? Oh, I thought it was just like a light racism.
Right.
That, you know, I ain't got like the most acceptable version of a black woman that y'all would like. And y'all were like, this is not white. This is not what we ordered.
Well, right. But if he even had half a thought beforehand, like, I have to take a deep breath before I introduce this mm-hmm. woman to my family, then you know there's something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's something.
Yeah. The queen is doing an internal investigation right now to find out who said I'm nervous about the color of your baby, as if anything could be done by it by now. Maybe right. they think they can. Can we do German shit, inject some, you know, coloring in your vagina? Who do we think? Well, what's the word on the street? Who were they alluding to?
Well, they say it's not the queen or her husband or whatever. So then people think it's the brother.
The brother and Kate.
Yeah.
Has there ever been an ugly duchess? Has there ever been a woman that's the outsider, happens to be a love interest, and she happens to not be hot as fuck?
They had one that they used to call fat in the press. I don't know her name. I just heard about this last night. But like I said, I don't know shit about this family. Everything I'm learning is like, God damn, they really ain't shit. Man, she should have Googled them. I don't.
Right.
Like, that was a mistake. Right. You cannot just trust his word on that. You know what I mean? No, it'll be fine. I'm going to Google anyway, and we'll just see if it'll be fine. But yeah, they had one woman apparently today. The big thing was she was too fat to be in the family, and they were, why would you marry this fat woman? So apparently they just ain't shit over there. And a lot of people are saying, like, it's race with Meghan Markle, but it's always something. So, like, even if she would have been white, it would have, she was born in America, and that's a problem. Or, but you know,
oh, then she could take that home with her. That's nice.
Yeah,
it's weird because they seem so down to earth. That it's, you know, like when they have asshole time from 2 to 4 p.m. for the public, and somehow they're not like down the earth. That's weird.
When they kill a horse for the queen farting, you know, that should be a clue. But
yeah. I mean, it's trickled down. No pun. Yeah.
Yeah. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even have known that. So,
which is a shame. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would change my life when I made it up.
For horses. No, yeah. I knew not to marry a prince.
Yeah.
Whoa, 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 buddy. Calm down.
And sometimes they have to kill the horses, sweetheart, because my grandma farts. Like, what the fuck? You know?
Where do you even begin to bring someone into this hundreds of years long of shit? Where do you even begin to be like, so here's the thing about my family. You got a map and a... And we're also going to need some PowerPoint presentation slides. And you're going to need to take notes on this because there's a lot of shit, okay?
Jermaine Fowler studied the Joffers more than these guys were told about what they're going to get into.
The Joffers weren't even as bad. They were terrible. Mike Kaplan is such a nice guy. He also emails me sometimes, too. I feel like he probably emails everybody. Individual emails, but it's if you return.
What if you don't return an email? It's not a bad thing, but just so we know, everybody, it's the new stimulus check. Everybody's getting it. And if you like it, it's nice. You write back your best pals for life.
Keith, do you write back with yours?
Once in a blue moon, but I rate it in such a way to shut it down. Like, you're kidding me. Thanks.
I like to do experiments with mine. Like
such as?
He wrote one the other day. I forget what it was about. And so I just sent back. It was February. It was like, oh, happy Black History Month and all that stuff. Mm. And I was like, cool. But then I
didn't get that one, for the record. I didn't get that one.
Yeah, yeah. So see, he caters it to the right people. So I responded back with one of those things where you take the letter, the first letter in the word is the letter of the month. So I don't even remember what it made no sense. I was like, fuck it. We're just sending things back. And he sent one for March. It was great. I just like fucking with Mike.
And he goes, I never connected with somebody more. Beep out.
Well, I haven't made it to dead grandmother level yet. So I feel like that's the level of connection that, you know, I'm working on it. I'm trying to get to him this level, you know, because I also have a dead grandmother. So we probably have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. You know? I do, too, now that I think about it.
Yeah, see, we should all get in on this. Yeah. We should all be going on stereo with them. I also thought Coming to America was cute. You know, at first I did go, I wish it was rated R.
Yeah.
Because that's what I like about the first one is all the raunchy shit. But then,
Did you rewatch the first one?
Yeah.
And?
I love it. I mean, it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't rewatch it. I was nervous that wouldn't hold up, but not even PC wise, and I just didn't.
Yeah. It's so good.
But I think I got everything. You know.
Yeah, it's one of the few for me anyway. It's one of the few perfect comedies where I'm just like, every line's quotable. Right. You know, Half Baked is like that for me. We just fucking, it's like, this was a period in my life. I watched this movie every fucking day to like drove everyone crazy.
I was thinking of rewatching Coming to America, but I think if you quizzed me on that first movie now, I would know the answer.
Yeah. So with this one though, what I forgot is like, everybody for the most part that loved the first movie, they're all grown up with kids and shit. Mm-hmm. So in a way, they kind of did you the favor of like making it PG-13. Like you can watch this with your kids. You know, Eddie's got kids and shit now. Like, it's, so after I thought of it that way, I was like, oh yeah, I really do like this. It was just, it was more like a reunion than a movie. Right. It was just more cute.
And there's you know, the Joffer kids are in it. So what are you what are you doing? Well, you're making it R4, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. People are making such a big deal that it wasn't R. The first one wasn't really wrong. It had the tits in the, you know, the jacuzzi soup. And other than that, they might have said fuck, but I don't think it would have been that different. It was gratuitous.
Yeah.
So I thought it was the same level of, you know, raunchy comedy. Just
I don't know what it is, but I just like me some cussing and the N-word and all that shit. It's just the seasoning.
I didn't mean to say so fast, but yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Don't interrupt me now.
Actually, then they might have had to make the decision whether to use the N-word or not.
Right. That's what. I think so. They probably just took up. And then also, you know, I think people are more woke now, so you can't really present the film through the 1988 lens or whatever. People would be like, "What the? I thought this was going to be blank," and then they'd be mad that you did the same gag. So you know. And I'm rooting for Eddie Murphy, not just because, you know, y'all like him and blah, blah, blah. But I'm rooting for him because he's one of the few older comedians that I've heard be like, I'm going to change my act. I want to be funny differently than I was funny then. And I'm not trying to just piss people off or go cancel culture or whatever the fuck. So I'm really rooting for him to be funny because it's going to suck and people are going to make it about that if he's not funny anymore, right?
True. Yeah, very true. Because all it was going to be about was, yeah, he just says shit and then the argument will be like, he said this and he said that. I think they really put the new culture into it.
Yeah, so I appreciated it.
He's like, now I go around buying people ice cream.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? Sometimes gay men are attracted to you, and that's nothing to be ashamed of.
He redoes the whole Norton bit and Mr. T.
It's not even, it's just like a TED talk. There's no jokes anymore. He's like, and I want to address some things I said earlier.
I understand if you were looking at my ass.
I mean, I still say fuck Bill Cosby, but now for completely different reasons. Right. I'm on the right side of history. I love that Hemda was so confused by the Critics' Choice Awards. This is just one of those Hemda moments where she's like, you were already critical. You already criticized it. And now you're doing what? Criticizing it again?
All they have to do is check the score. Did you win or not?
It is true. They should have to stick with the scores. Right. They should just aggregate the score. It should just be the Rotten Tomatoes Awards.
Yeah.
No mystery. No candidates, no nominations. They just go up there and they're like, best movie of the year? Apparently, fuck me. No Man's Land. All right. That's what we decided.
We said it.
Okay. Best actor? Who was in that movie? She got it. Yep. So move to the next one. Sure. It's like a 15-minute show.
Right. And they cut to them on Zoom, and Frances McDormand's like, thanks. Okay. You know what? That's why you're doing dishes. Next.
Best animated film. Apparently, it's Soul. So, all right.
What a fucking surprise. Next.
Episode 3382, Self-Medicated with Murph Meyer. Is this Murph's first time on the show, or has he been a guest before?
It's the second time he's been on.
Okay, all right. I don't remember his.
He was on a long time ago with his girlfriend. I reheard that show. It happened to be when at the end of it, when I was debating about voting for Trump. I'm like, I know Hillary Clinton. I do not like her. Mm-hmm. I don't know Trump, so why not? And then if you followed Keith and the girl, you know, I took you on.
You learned why not.
You learn why not.
I like how Trump doesn't give people a choice. You just like when you try to give them some bit of like, well, who wants to see? I mean, we need to shake things up, drain the swamp. Then the next day, he's like, all Mexicans are rapists. You're like, you know what? Let's not give him a chance. I'm wrong.
You know what? That's like in poker when it's like, oh, I don't know if I should get in with these low cards. And then Keith goes all in on some bullshit. And you're like, thank you for making it easy. I will now throw my cards in and I don't have to play shit.
Yeah, that's what I did when I lost to him that one time I played. I was like, fuck it. We're going all in. And he was like, oh, that's not what you're supposed to do?
Oh, he's such a pain in the ass.
Thank you.
Anyway, oh, you should join us for poker nights Wednesday night.
The chat room is, even if you're just there to peek in the chat, there's a lot of cool listeners in there. I went.
It's so fun.
Mm-hmm. And you get to put faces with the stories and all this stuff. And you go like, oh, you know, because you hear on the show, if you're listening, you hear like, oh, Mimi Cherry or somebody. And then you're in the chat and you're like, that's Mimi Cherry. I know you. You're kind of famous to me. But yeah, I like Murph. Okay. I don't know 100% about his self-medicated thing. I'm just trusting him on that. You know, like it ain't my business. And he seemed to be doing good. And a lot of the stuff that hangups I have about drugs are just from the DARE program because I don't know shit, you know? So if he can like function with like, listen, man, I might get drunk, but I don't do heroin anymore.
But he still
like it's working.
But it's interesting. He still wants to do less.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I know I said this during the show in one way or another, but what a big term, harm reduction for, you know, you feel like you still got to do something, do it, and you're making peace with it and watch yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess my way's not catchy. It doesn't flow off the tongue like harm reduction.
I mean, you gotta, first of all, it's about branding. Okay. You gotta start thinking of some branding for your stuff. You know,
it's gotta fit on a shirt next to a skull or an eagle.
Yeah. It's like harm reduction. And then there's just like a skull with the eyes crossed out and then an empty bottle.
No, a half empty bottle.
A half empty bottle.
Right. Reduction.
And then parentheses, it came half empty. It's all I need.
Just a sip, you know. But it sounded cool. He said he got a dog during the pandemic. I just wonder if everyone's returning these dogs when they get back. Like, what's the kennel going to look like in fucking like 3 months?
Right.
It's overflowing with fucking inconvenient dogs now that you can go out and do shit. Y'all better start loving these dogs. If you listen to the sound of my voice and you got a dog during the pandemic, you honestly will be worse than never having had a dog if you return the fucking dog.
Sure.
Anyway. He started drugs at 10.
Yeah.
And he still didn't graduate yet. You know what I mean? Like
how don't the parents know? I couldn't imagine. Unless you just make peace with it. But it didn't sound like there were family problems per se, right? And how don't you know your kid's coming home drunk?
Well, he said they argued a lot, but
I think he was keeping the family stuff out. I think if we asked him more, there was family stuff.
Right.
But he seemed to be more in his adult addiction because he did rob from them while he was on heroin, and his heroin years were while he was young. I just feel like if your kid gets caught in this, you know, you might notice it, but like you really cannot do anything about it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, just like you can't do anything about adults doing it, they have to somehow decide that they're going to stop. And that's hard.
It's weird because you start drugs at 10 and no one's ever like, dude, you must be so good at drugs, you know? But if you start like stand up at 10 or I don't know, it's like this motherfucker don't be funny. But
you know what? It is true. Like if you're at 10 and you're drunk, your parents didn't see that when they do. They still put you to bed at 10. You're not, I guess you're drunk too.
Maybe.
You know, everyone's partying, so you're not recognizing that your kid's drunk, but they smell pretty bad.
Like, just don't bike, son, okay? Don't drink and bike.
Right.
Yes.
Did you get a ride home? I remember the Kids for Cash scandal. I remember covering that on our show about the judge in, like, Washington or some shit like that who was, like, literally selling kids to the private prison system. by like giving trumping up charges and putting it direct, like they're going to this facility and he was getting paid for it. That shit was so crazy. He was almost one of those kids. Like his life would have been totally fucking different. And like, obviously, you know, there was some racial stuff in there too, but like that judge was getting paid regardless. It wasn't like extra for black kids. So just if you came through his courtroom, you were going to jail and fucking the rest of your life up. He, in a way, he kind of lucked out in a lot of cases in his life to even get to where he is now.
He did. Yeah. I think anyone who hasn't been in jail and has done drugs for that long, that's lucky.
Yeah.
Because he also grew up in a part where they were starting to really crack down. They were patting themselves on the back for cleaning up your neighborhood type thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think for that judge, everybody above him needs to get fired also, because you are not looking at your staff. You're not looking at how your courtroom system is going. You didn't see a pattern. You're blind and not in a good judge way, in a good law court way. You're just blind. So either you're faking that you're looking at your shit, or you're faking that you didn't know. But this is some bullshit. Because if you had a company where somebody is siphoning like that, then somewhere up the chain, people are not looking at some stuff, and you're not the only one who's just getting away with shit. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Responsible for children's lives, and no one's checking on that guy. Who else fucked up? He's not alone.
And it's partially because as a society, America, we're so puritanical. We're like addicted to punishment. So it's like there's no punishment that's too much until way later, right? It's always like this person did this terrible thing, and so we sent them to jail forever. We're like, yeah. And then like 20 years later, when they're like, well, actually, they should have only got slapped on the wrist. They just had some cocaine or whatever. And we're like, yeah, who did that? That is fucked up. Wow. We really got to change the rules around here. But yeah, he lucked out on that one, man. But his, like, y'all did such a great interview with him and got him to open up about so much stuff. And the actress who apparently was jacking kids off and all kinds of shit and when he was a kid, like, and how I love how he took the journey of because he was wokish, you know what I mean? Like, he like took the journey of like, oh wait, that was abuse. Because I think dudes are definitely like, that's how we're taught, right? To be like, dude, I was fucking nailing this 40-year-old chick when I was 12. And it's like,
totally.
You were raped. But I'll wait for you to get around to that one. I don't want to tell you how to feel. But it was interesting listening to him like go through that, even the stuff with jail and like restorative justice and all this stuff, like just watching him having been through those experiences and then come full circle on like, and this is how I see this as a solution now. It was a great interview. Y'all did such a great job.
God, he was actually an open book. I don't think he tried to get around any answer. I think if he didn't answer something to people's like satisfaction, it's just because
he's high as fuck.
drunk as fuck. It's because we weren't spending 24 hours with him. I think, you know, I think he's good to go with the information.
Yeah, he's thought a lot about this. So, you know, I just like, y'all had some thoughtful people this week. Jack is, well, before we get to Jack, y'all also got a listener letter from someone who started listening out in sixth grade. Right? It's always amazing the emotional maturity and intelligence of the people that you would be like, I know we fucked them up. Sixth grade, they weren't ready for that. And then they're just like the nicest, fucking most well-rounded people. Right. And it was so good. When I started listening to the show, it felt like rock and roll compared to radio. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, they just talk about it. They don't give a fuck, you know? And it was the fact that it was so, a show that was so not full of shit when everything's full of shit, you know? And it was like, it was almost jarring to the sensibilities where it's like, oh, they, a show that's talking about having an abortion and it's not like getting shut down or these are the six talking points. Don't fucking stray from this. We're going to like that kind of shit is so cool. And I really do think kids can benefit even in sixth grade, you know, from hearing that shit because we're never going to hear it anywhere else. Like,
I'm not saying I'm not saying that these topics are all okay for 12-year-olds, but I remember being 12.
All of them. Yes, all.
I remember being 12, and if somebody spoke just normal, I wouldn't think it was for me. Just because somebody wasn't, you know, beating someone up about an abortion, that doesn't mean now I'm dying to have one.
Right.
That's, like, so confusing when they're like, don't have an abortion. It's like, well, I don't want one. This isn't my Christmas gift. Like, so, yeah, it's not that that was the influence on your kids is not the joy of the shitty things in life. It's that they happen and we're looking at it. And the fact that you're lying to your kids is now about to catch up with you and you're going to call them an asshole, but you've been an asshole this whole time and they can't trust you.
Yeah.
So we got them.
And it's not like, it's like how they don't want you to teach like sex ed, but anyone's ever had a sex ed class, the last thing you want to do is have sex after. It's the worst way to talk about sex. It's the most clinical, like this, and then the scare tactics of like herpes in your face. Like,
and talking to your teacher about having sex is not making you want to have sex.
No one.
By the way, when I learned what sex was, I super didn't want to have it.
Yes.
It turns good because someone you're attracted to wants to touch your titty or something.
Right.
And you're like, oh, this isn't what they were describing. That's not what we were learning. Now I know like a little bit about it. So I know, you know, we're not teaching like you could say no in real time. We're just no. And then you get mad and he gets mad. And like, what are you teaching me?
A little more practical, please. They make it sound like you walk into class and they dim the lights and Marvin Gaye comes on. Like, that's not what happens. You know what's the least sexiest thing? A fallopian tube. Yes. You know what I mean? A ovary, a vas deferens. No, that's what you're learning in sex ed. And they're just like, don't teach them that. They're going to go out and start fucking and bring some babies home. Like, no, they're going to not learn. And then they're going to go and just fuck people because that's what hormones do. And then they're going to bring babies home. And you're going to be like, but I never taught you about sex. It's like, well, that's why I'm fucking people without condoms.
I like that you went from a Southern accent to a Southern accent to show stupidity.
Yes,
Keith and I were like, us Northerners are going to be quiet now.
My default for everything stupid and racist in America. I'm just like, it all sounds like this, right?
By the way, I just used the word Northerner about myself for the first time. So I am officially American.
Oh, yeah. That was a moment. That just happened, people.
And they don't really teach you how to have sex either. I remember talking to a friend of mine and being like, I know we just took this stupid sixth grade class, but it goes in. How does it go in?
I'm like, so
she gets wet and then it kind of slides in and then push it with gumption, but not too much. Like they don't tell, how do I properly cook the steak? Like you didn't tell me a fucking thing.
Also, we're stupid. So it's like, you're talking to a bunch of dumbass American kids. Half of them are going to fail that class. You know what I mean? Like half of them are like, was it the pee hole? What was the, hey, what's the answer to number three? What hole you put it in?
Right. Like, and the teacher doesn't want to talk about it. So now no one wants to hear it. No one wants to talk about it. And it's supposed to click once. Do you know how many times I had to learn about Passover? Every year they taught us about Passover in Jewish school. And I'm like, I think we get what fucking Passover is. But with sex, they're like penis, vagina. We don't want to talk about it. Here's a condom. Got it.
If it's so good, how come all these men get to be like 70 and they still don't know what a clit is?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like no one's learning shit in there.
But for me, if it's so bad, how come it's getting people in trouble? Because it was sold to me as like an uncomfortable thing people are going to come after you for, you know? So I'm like, okay, then why does it feel good? This is very weird.
So weird. And then you still don't want them to even teach that shit. Jack is upset with the show, guys. All right. 16 years in, and he's just about had it up to here.
Politics, right? Too much politics.
You guys have gotten so political. Yeah. I bet let me ask you this. Is he ever going to hear this show? Is he a VIP listener?
I don't know that, but I do know he did write me back on Twitter and said, glad I could be part of a rant. Ha ha. Love you. The classic.
Oh, those assholes.
The classic.
The lowest bar for interacting with humans. You need to raise some goals.
Glad I got your goat. You're welcome.
I pissed in your yard and you got upset. Yeah. Why win?
Always honored to be part of it. Love you.
You call me stupid. thank you. But yeah, I always find that those people are never the like supporters of the show. You know what I mean? Because they're all, it's always just some asshole that like checks in every once in a while or they listen to all your free shit. But then when you're like, all right, man, we're raising money for Kickstarter. It's like, man, fuck you. You liberal, blah, blah, blah. I'll tune in Monday to see how it went. Like,
oh, my God. Then could I just give a moment to everybody listening here? You are a supporter if you're listening. So thank you so, so much. It's such a big deal for us to have this program and to have you members a part of it. I'm so being sincere. This is what makes us know that we have another month to go, another, you know, like it's a base for us. So thank you so much to our VIPers.
And I'm sorry. I think the world should be greener.
And I hope y'all are taking advantage of your like free gimmies, like silent trailers that I attend. Okay. Even on the weeks where I'm not going to recap that week, I just attend because it's the funnest game show going right now. Ever since Alex Trebek died, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
But it's the funnest game show, and it breaks out, and you ask the what are the topics about, and that's kind of a guessing game. And you have
I put it on Reddit. I put the topics for this week on Reddit, and if you guess what the topic actually is based on the topic name, like so based on the category, if you know the theme, you get a backstage pass. We're going to shut that down on Wednesday. So answer now because, you know, we need time for you to know that you need to be backstage before the show. Backstage passes. Oh, also,
those are always fun.
You can buy backstage passes. So if you want to know what happens before the show, behind the scenes, get in on that.
And I've been part of the backstage before when I was a guest, y'all, and it's fun. It's like bonus show that no one else ever gets to see. And you also get the people that have the mics messed up, which is great, and the people that are running a little late, which is also great, and people panicking, and Newsy running down, like, how do you say this name? Or, like, is this how you announce this person? That's about right. And then, boom, lights, action, you know, stage time. I love it.
Yeah, when Billy was on, we were, you know, we make people practice. Like, here's the start of the show. When you see the start of the show, that was practice. Everyone turns off their camera, and then as they get mentioned, they pop up. And we were, like, ready to rehearse, and Billy just leaves. We're like...
he left. Like, he wasn't there. He left. He left. He left his physical room, obviously.
You could have seen that backstage, everybody. Yeah. Okay.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Get the guessing topics, and if not, you know, if it's after Wednesday, get to paying that the extra money and get you some backstage tickets, okay?
So if you're hearing this through your VIP package, of course, you already have a free regular ticket to watch the show. So just get it, keithandthegirl.com/ticket.
And you could use that code that you're using for the free VIP. You could use that for a backstage pass. It'll lower the backstage pass amount.
What code?
By the ticket amount. That they have in their VIP.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And of course, when like this is big, this is getting serious. Keith is on a losing streak.
Fuck you.
Oh, and Rod.
I'm going to pull the Billy Proceder right now.
He needs y'all support. Okay. The home team
easily.
Needs the fans in the crowd to root him on. And
look at Keith getting nervous. Look.
Yeah.
I won.
Okay. He's never been this down before.
Yeah.
You know, he lashed out at me. This is a message of support. And you see how quickly he was like, fuck you for even bringing this up. We're pretending that I'm not losing. Listen, we got to root this man. I normally root against him in the chat. I'm changing. This time, it's time for Mally to make a comeback.
I am so down that I watch Woody Allen documentaries to cheer me up. Yeah.
I just finished that, by the way, right before we got on the air. I have like 10 minutes left, but I get the gist. I think I know where it's going.
Finish the 10 minutes. I like these celebrities being outed. Not that this is news to me per se, but I love it all presented in one easy package for people.
Yeah, I'm going to finish. It's just a joke. We had to start the show. But,
right.
but yeah, I mean, I think he did it.
10 minutes is his rebuttal. He's a better raider. He's in, he's out.
The last 10 minutes are like, but the films are so good. You're just like, fuck, you got me. Watch 3 hours and 50 minutes for nothing.
Right.
But yeah, Jack says the show's getting too political. I loved when he just punched below the belt with "just like your father."
Son of a bitch.
Only a real hater can know the just try to pluck at your buttons, right, like that, you know? Right. It's like haters are the biggest fans in a weird way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I hate Keith. I'm going to bring up his father and remember how you used to get beat up in fifth grade? And he was like, fuck, man, you did the work.
But does he really think, like, I'm going to read it and go, am I? Like, he just threw it out there with no thought to hurt me. But his goal, of course, is for me to go, shit, am I just like the worst person on earth? He gave me a lot to think about with one unrelated sentence. This dumb fuck.
You know, my father who hates Jews and then me saying anti-Semitism is wrong. Kind of the same thing. Think about it. But I think the world got more political, not necessarily the show. This is no offense to y'all, but I don't consider the show political in that way, because it's not like y'all come on here and you're like, Chuck Schumer, did you see the vote today? 51-49, really, guys?
Yeah, we gotta get it together. It's not deep cuts. It's we're in the shallow pool. We're just listen. If it has a hashtag in front of it, we might talk about it.
And we're so shallow that if you disagree, you're a fucking idiot. How can you be? It's so shallow. How can you even disagree with it?
It's like basic ethical empathy shit.
Yes.
It's like, I don't think we should put kids in cages at the border. And this guy's like, these fucking liberals and the politics.
Have you seen the other point? Like, what, motherfucker? All right, what's the other point? Do your research. Okay. Who told you you don't mind kids in cages? I don't know, but okay.
And also, these are the biggest topics of the day now, right? Like, isn't it like sometimes back in the day, there would be shit where like it was important, but no one was really talking about it. So like, how would it make it to the pop culture podcast? You know what I mean?
Because do you think during the Holocaust, somebody was going, we get it.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
They're standing you up in front of holes and then just shooting you. And then you see this. Oh my God. Every day though. Every day about this war happening in your neighborhood? Every day?
How about the Jews ask the Germans how they can help?
Why you got to get political and pick a side? Just bring up that it happened and have no opinions. I also like that he thinks it wasn't political at one point, because I don't know, Jack, but guess the race. I would go white dude probably. Sure. Because white dudes think everything's not political that is. Like, as long as it's to them, it's not political, right? Yeah. So, if you say Black Lives Matter, political, right? If you say women only earn this amount of money, that's a political thing to them. But for a woman, that's a life thing. I'm not making enough money is affecting my fucking life. It's not politics. I didn't wake up and say I'm gonna care about this thing that has no effect on me. An abortion is political because it changes my whole fucking life and the whole direction that it goes. It's only white dudes that get to be like, here she go getting political with this bullshit. Now let's get back to, you know, why we need to keep immigrants out of the country. I'm like, that's also political anyway.
Amen.
I say, just stick to his side and don't be political, guys. Okay, so we're gonna do the show for Jack from this point on.
Because our politics, in quotes, is so simple, I assume whatever upset him is so simple. I'm just gonna guess it's I called you an idiot for voting for Trump the first time and a racist for voting for him the second time.
Right.
I don't know. I would bet money on that.
That's my new favorite thing is whenever we have listeners that write in, sometimes they do a review and they'd be like, you know, Rod, I don't agree with you on everything. And I just go, okay, thank you for the freedom to allow me to make up the everything.
Right.
You don't agree with me that people who are trans deserve the same rights as me and you. You're a horrible person. I get to still be good. That's fine. What a terrible person. Now, it could be they just don't like that I don't think sugar goes in grits. Doesn't matter. You weren't specific.
Right.
So I'm going to pick the worst fucking thing I can think of. Oh, wow. You don't think Black Lives Matter? Well, I guess we just have to agree to disagree because I'm not going to change on that one. Be specific. I also think it's funny because he goes, the show didn't used to be political. And I wonder if it's just because Keith was a registered Republican in 2009. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where it's like he's having these opinions, but at least he's a at least he's on my side. You know what I mean? But then the second you're like, yeah, I don't think I even want to be in this party. It's like, fucking show got political, bro.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the poll.
The poll was, do you self-medicate? Now, I wasn't really sure what this poll meant, to be honest.
But you're the one who made it.
Kind of picked it. And I'm not calling her out, but I don't, it fits the show, of course. I don't really get it. Now, does it mean you would answer? I wrote no, but when I was drinking, would I write yes? No, I just did it because I loved it. I really didn't do it to knowingly deal with an issue. Whether it's dealing with a, you know, superficial level, whether it's dealing with an issue or not is different. That's not why I did it. That's why I wasn't sure about this. This poll. What does it mean to you, Henda?
Well, to me, it's like this is altering whatever I am at norm, right? So if I'm writing the prescription myself, meaning I need this amount of the drug, whatever it is, which is also alcohol, then I administered that. I'm the one who made that decision. So I would say that I am self-medicated because I think this is the amount of weed, which is considered a drug, sold like a drug, even when it's recreational. So even the recreational drugs, even like if I take Tylenol once a day and nobody prescribed it, because sometimes they tell you when you leave the hospital, take one Advil or one Tylenol, depending on whatever, you're not self-medicating. But if you know that every day you need an aspirin, you're self-medicating. If you didn't bring that up to a doctor, the doctor might have said that's not a good idea or it is a good idea. You are self-medicating. If you are putting yourself in an altered state than what your body is giving you. Now, I know then we talked about water. I don't take the aspirin, I take the water. I don't think that's self-medicating, but it still is in a way because I am not going to a doctor to give me the advice on what I need to do to my body and mind. I'm self-medicating.
75% of the audience says, yes, they self-medicate.
That makes sense to me because you're doing something where you're not asking your doctor. It's very rare that we go and we see a doctor for specific things that we can get over-the-counter stuff or borrow from a friend or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I feel like it should be 100% because everybody's doing something, right?
Because there are over-the-counter drugs, right? So you are, in a way, NyQuil is self-medicating.
But it's like this study I read a long time ago about how college binge drinking goes, where most people start binge drinking in college, and people attribute it to just like, oh, it's college culture, you're having fun, but also that's a scary time when you're 17, 18. It's the first time away from home. All this change is happening. You're now responsible for your own life. So you're kind of self-medicating if you need to get blackout drunk every weekend to not deal with these feelings of anxiety and change and separation and loss and all this stuff. But we just look at it like, oh, no, kids like getting drunk. It's like, yeah, but, you know, like this is a lot.
It goes with the 80% of people who get nervous before they meet with even a friend.
Yes.
It goes with, why are bars so successful? Why do we have to meet at a place where we could drink? Mm-hmm. Why do we take a drink to, quote, take the edge off? It's all self-medicated. Every drink you have is self-medicated.
Yeah. Mine is Chinese dumplings. That's my self-medication.
Nice.
Like, load those bad boys up.
I go for the soup dumplings, and they are
fucking
level. If you have soup dumplings in your neighborhood, try them. It's crazy.
I literally want to move to Seattle because they have the soup dumpling place there, and it's so good.
They have a couple places here that are magic.
I know y'all got to have them. Y'all got Chinatown. I know y'all got them.
Yeah, there's two in Chinatown that are really good.
That's what I'm doing when I go up there, man.
Yeah.
Soup dumplings, man. It changed my life. The Trader Joe's ones they have are cool, but they're not hitting like the authentic soup dumplings. You know what I'm saying?
Don't get them from Trader Joe's and say you had soup dumplings, please.
Right. Please. I don't talk about it. It's a secret, Shane.
Yeah. Which is interesting that Murph didn't talk about heroin like this, but I'm happy for you.
Well, I've never had to like rob anyone for soup dumplings yet. Right.
But you haven't had good ones, right?
The stimulus don't come through though. Watch out, Trader Joe's. Episode 3383. This was not just one of my favorite episodes of the week, but of all time.
All right.
Problem areas with Wyatt Cenac. Wyatt Cenac just seems like a cool cat. Like, and by cool, I mean like the literal definition of laid back.
Yeah.
You know, like when Keith asked him, like, you yell? He's like, me and John Stewart were yelling. It's like, really, Wyatt?
That's so funny because afterwards I was like, okay, you know, Xerxes is on here for the tech and the mic check and whatever. And he's usually the most laid back. He'll wait, you know, stuff like that. Wyatt Cenac during the mic check made Xerxes seem like he was on cocaine.
Right.
I was like, oh, next level.
Yeah. He's so super chill. And it was cool to hear him be like that because he's so sensitive and thoughtful in a way that I don't get to hear a lot of black people be, especially black men be, period. Like, even in comedy, it's always like, yuck, yuck, or let me bail you out with this joke or whatever. And so sometimes it was a little bit awkward because, like, y'all would be making a joke and then he would, like, break down the essence of the joke. It's like, you know, like, Keith's like, yeah, because it's like this. And he's like, well, you know, if you wanted to say that in a way, some people would be offended. Some people would understand. It's like, that was just a yuck, yuck. To get to the next question, but cool. And then he stayed for like, there was like an hour and a half or something. So like, it wasn't like, this is so awkward. Let's get out of here. Like, it seemed like he liked the long form and the long answers and the thoughtfulness of it. And I felt like y'all kind of synced up and hit that wavelength, like about maybe say 20, 30 minutes in, where it's like, okay, he's just going to be super chill and everything's going to be deep and thoughtful. Until the last, like, I think the last thing he did on the show was the joke about King Lear. And I was like, and that's why he's funny. That's why he gets paid to be funny. That King Lear, Andrew Cuomo shit was hilarious. But yeah, the rest of the show was just him being like, yeah, but let's be thoughtful about this. How did y'all feel? Was it awkward for y'all with the rhythm and the timing talking to Wyatt?
I didn't know if he was talking too slow. And I heard it back and it didn't sound the way it did live at all.
Mm-hmm. I was nervous that this might be too slow and I'm saying it's slow now. I was genuinely nervous that we are going to sound like we're on triple speed and he's going to sound like he's on half speed, and I'm not sure if this is stuff that the audience already kind of knows, but apparently, like, you got to say it more than once. So I was nervous. And then thank you guys for your feedback, because it's helpful, because we put it up because we're like, look, this is why it's an act and he's got some really cool shit to say. He's talking about the yelling at Jon Stewart. He's talking about being the only black person in the writing room and in life work in general. But is that entertaining? When we interrupt and he goes, no, I'm being serious, I'm like, okay, but we can also joke, right? And then at the end, he tells that Obama joke and we like crack up, and that's the opposite of everything he just taught us, sort of, so to speak, you know? Yeah. And then Keith throws in, yeah, but that was funny. And then his face for a second, he wanted to take back the joke almost. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh shit, did it just like go to this weird place? But
and then I quickly said something to be back on track, like, you're talking about those cringeworthy yo-yo-yos and stuff. He's like, yeah, and he's back. And I'm like, okay, that was a little trick.
Yeah. And it was funny. But at the end he was like, and I don't know if this was on the show or just after, you know, we say goodbye separately as well. He was like, thank you. And we're like, yeah, thanks. It's good to meet you. He goes, no, really, thank you. That was a really good conversation. It was a really good interview. So that was, we're like, okay, at least he felt respected and heard. So now we see how people feel about it.
He's so deadpan, but he's also so honest. And then he's so like aware. So it is kind of like, he's talking about all these landmines that people inadvertently stepped on. And then you're doing the interview like, are we stepping on a landmine? Is this, we still cool? All right, we still cool? All right, cool. All right, here's the next question. We cool? All right, everything's still cool? All right, cool. And it's just interesting because you never get to hear black people talk like that in general. Like, that's such a taboo. You know, like, what are you trying to fuck your career up? Like, Jon Stewart made you mad once. I'm like, no, you don't say that. Everybody loves Jon Stewart. Right. You know, he has this image. And, you know, I know he told that story before on Marin, but y'all got way more details out of it. And so maybe he's more comfortable talking about it now than he was before, but, or y'all are just such great interviewers, you know, that y'all just had him out there giving
us
all the
dirt. Well, we can't pick which one it is. Well, here, let's just hope for the best.
Jack, what do you think?
Jack didn't listen to this one. It was too political. A black person talked about problems they had. It was hard to think of why it is being annoying to a university and getting a refund. I can't imagine how many calls from him it would take before I gave him his money back, because he's such a soothing person. I really need my money back. I'm like, oh, it's this guy again. Hey, man, where are you up to?
He just keeps coming to the, you know, dean's door, and he's like, hey, it's me again.
Yeah.
What do you say? No. All right. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Oh, I meant to ask him if he got to pick what his character looks like on BoJack, because he just plays a regular person, not an animal. And I wonder if they asked the person, hey, do you want to be an animal? You know, because maybe you don't want to be an animal and that's somehow weird. But I don't know. But he was on BoJack 2 episodes. Thank you.
Yep. Also, like, a university should have to give you your fucking money back if you don't go to school. How is that even a thing that they can?
I don't know. They held the spot for you. That spot is held. I mean,
it's all the tuition.
Give not all the tuition. Yeah. No,
if you money can, back.
Yeah. If you know that there's a waiting list and somebody will be filling it the next day, then you still get charged for like the inconvenience of people having to do extra work.
Yeah. It's not that inconvenient though. I took some stupid class where you took a class and then they'll get you a job in the postal service. That's actually unconnected. They just act like it is connected. And you take a little test.
It's a scam.
And then you take I knew the test. Is this exactly the same? 123 Oak Street, 123 Oak Street spelled out. I'm like, so no, it's not exactly the same. Done. Then they go, oh, you passed the test. Now you can, you know, we can take your money. So I pay and then I'm in this class and it's just a dog. You can't, you know, when you see a dog, can you eat the dog if he bites it? They're like the dumbest fucking shit. And I lasted 5 minutes and I went back and I'm like, I think I really misunderstood the class. Somehow I figured out it's not related to United States Postal Service. But regardless, I know you're not supposed to bite a dog and that street and avenue are different things. And he goes, well, you're too late. You're already in. I'm like, no, we have a problem because that's a lot of money and I don't have money. And he's like, well, the money's already gone. I'm like, it's literally in that second drawer on the left. you needed cash. You put it in there. And then he got up and started walking around the office and I followed him. And I'm like, no, we have to talk. And he's deliberately being around other people, so I won't say anything. And I kept going and I ended up suing him and got money through an arbitrator. But
yeah, it's
give me the fucking money back. Fuck.
It's kind of him just like talking to customer service like, yeah, but do the thing. You fucking do the thing sometimes when you give the people the money back. I'm not the first motherfucker to ever pick up the phone and get their money back.
Yeah.
Just now it's more work for you to not give me my fucking money back. Just I'll be off the phone. You'll give me my money back. Y'all move on.
It's true. And I would like everybody to experiment with this. If you have an overdraft fee, and I'm going to say any bank fee, please experiment. It will take 1 minute. So let's practice 1 minute at a time. You call them up and then you watch a show while you're on hold, whatever it is. It's not going to take that long. It doesn't take that long anymore. And then you go, I have this fee. Can you remove it? They, by the way, you won't even have to convince them. They will probably say something like you only get one of those a year. But did you know you get one of those a year? Then when you call back a second time, did you know that they give you a second time? I'm just saying, experiment. Yep.
I'm saying,
why it's COVID too. If you feel you have to say something, say times are tough.
From now on, just think about it this way: they gave the chillest dude in the world his tuition back.
Right.
You can definitely do better.
Yeah, okay? You don't have to yell. Don't yell. Do not yell.
If they would do it for Wyatt, they will do it for you.
Right.
Okay.
I remember in this post office place, I'm like, okay, now I'm starting to feel like it's a scam. And he goes, and this is around other people, but the other people are ignoring him also. You know, they're all like used car salesmen. Like nobody wants to get involved. They all know they're pieces of shit. And he goes, oh, a scam? Well, now you're not getting any money. And I'm a little calmer, but I'm like, so you weren't going to give me the money. Then I said, it's a scam. And now you're not going to give me the money. He's like, you just get, and then he'd go back, he'd pretend to make coffee, pretend to look for paper, and, you know, until finally I knew he's just, okay, I'm just going to literally keep getting the back to him and sued. But yeah, right. No, fuck off.
Yeah. I love how they tried to make it sound too complicated.
Yeah.
Mm. But we already got the money. You're not teaching me. Just give me the money back.
And do you have a financial professor? Maybe he can walk you through how this works.
Yeah. And then, and like, there's always a non-refundable portion of every fucking thing. So right. I know, I'm not getting the $250 back, but I do want the $10,000, dummy. Give me my fucking money back. Like, right. Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I could also see him going to a metaphorical place, and maybe that's why they gave it back, where they're just like, the money's gone. He's like, is money ever really gone? And he's like, just give him his money back. he made three people quit today. but yeah, he has so much empathy. It was so weird listening to him talk about the downside of the Daily Show interviews, because I love those. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, oh, they must love it. These are great pranks. The people are almost always deserving of the prank because fuck them. Right. You know what I mean? Like, PETA's, like, he felt bad for the PETA people who also were like, let's compare apes to slaves and shit. And he's just like, right. Yeah, I wish I hadn't, you know, tricked them in an interview. I'm just like, I don't know. I think we could trick them. I think
that one was a good one, too. It's such a gentle trick. It's like, hey, let's compare apples to apples.
Right.
Yes.
Real quick, like with your situation, I didn't know that PETA people could give themselves the allowance to have pets.
Right. He's like, so then by your definition, this dog is a slave? No, that's different. That's what a slave master would say. And they were mad as hell. That was so great. And then he brought up the ironic racism jokes or ism jokes, I guess, back right. in the day. That did used to be the shit, though. Like, I'm not like,
I'll tell you, I still don't get it. What's an ironic
racism
joke?
Like Louis C.K., his N-word joke or whatever. He's like, well, does it matter how you say nigger and da-da-da? So he's saying the N-word a lot. Some people are like, even if you're illustrating that it's bad or it's wrong or you're a good person, but you're saying the word to illustrate that it's harmful, there's a school of thought of like, you shouldn't even do that. Like, just completely don't even stay out of that lane.
Well, you also know you're being a bad boy. You know.
Yeah. Or, Sarah Silverman, when she did like blackface for one sketch where on her old show.
Right.
And it's obvious that she shouldn't be doing blackface. The character doesn't know it's racist on the sketch, but to everyone around who has some awareness in the sketch, they're like, oh, this is racist. You're doing blackface. To Wyatt, it's like, you just, that even if you're illustrating that blackface is bad, you still did the blackface. Like, as the joke, you put on the blackface to point out that you shouldn't mm-hmm. put on blackface. I think we can get that without you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm just saying, there was a time when that was the shit. That's what I'm saying. Like, there was a time when everyone was doing that and it was kind of generally accepted. And then I think, you know, people were like, all right, that's enough, because we can't tell if you're doing it from a good place or a bad place or, you know, whatever. So I just thought that was interesting, especially with the Jon Stewart thing essentially being that on steroids, right? Because it was, I'm going to do a big clip of all my impressions and show how racist they all are, but they're racist on the side of right. And he's just like, yeah, this is the ultimate. Like, this is tripling down on what I was uncomfortable with earlier. So, and to see Jon Stewart, such a beloved icon in that way, you know, like, I know I would have never thought of him like that, but, you know, yelling at Wyatt and Wyatt almost thinking he got fired and all that shit. It was a little bit scary. You
know? I wouldn't think that there was yelling. I would think a disagreement can happen and then John can push that sketch through. And then that's just what's happening on the show that you work at. But to be yelling at right. the top of your voice, that I thought, like, that's weird that that's where that went. It went to yelling.
And then you don't know if you have a job anymore because right. of how he left it, which is And then there's already a power discrepancy, obviously, but then like the pay discrepancy and all that other shit. Like it's so weird because, as he said, the Daily Show helped make me. But then it's also this place where you're like, and almost broke me, like, mm-hmm. like kind of a good thing. But also you have to deal with this. And like I said, you just don't get to hear black people talk like that. Like it's almost career suicide, man. Like you just have to be like, I'm just fortunate to be here. Some shit happened that I wasn't comfortable with. I felt that this person went over the top, but I don't want to make anything bad happen to them. I don't want anybody making a big deal out of this. So I'm just going to take this shit to my grave. And we talk about that stuff amongst each other, but he must have felt like super comfortable and also, you know, had time to think about that story to tell it in that much detail. Like I said, it was just such a great interview.
I'm so glad you thought that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. That's good. He's he was cool as fuck.
Yeah. So, and I just, like I said, it must have been difficult, but y'all let him be cool. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, there is, like, this tendency, like, we got to yuck it out. What the fuck is happening? These aren't jokes. This is uncomfortable. And y'all were like, okay, he's telling the story, and we're just going to hear it out. And then, you know, it to me, I saw the forums and everything. Everyone was like, best guest, greatest interview. This is my favorite episode now. So, you know, I thought y'all did a great job.
Thank you.
What was the poll?
The poll was based on how he got his SNL job interning by just sending letters in the mail. The poll was, have you ever sent a letter through the mail? I didn't know no one did that. But 4% of the audience have never sent a letter through the mail.
I think that number is going to grow. Why are you sending letters in the mail?
Right.
Still, yeah, I guess though, we're the last generation before the internet.
Well, what are you sending?
But if you're old and I don't know, if you're old enough to hear this, let's say apparently 13, 10.
Yeah.
You haven't sent a letter in the mail?
To do what?
To your congressman as a school project.
You could email them. You can call them.
Mm-hmm. Wait, they don't call them, right?
No, you can call them.
Santa Claus. I don't know. I can't imagine. It's hard to imagine.
We're getting old, man.
Yeah.
Like, we're the last generation that had the internet less than... Shit, now as we get older, we've had the internet longer than we didn't have it. You know what I mean? But there was a point.
We're the cutoff. We are the... Some of our friends of this age are not on the internet. If you... Like, you know, they are in the periphery. But like... some of them are not. Some of them don't know what the internet really does. And then younger than us, they're just on it. But we are the cutoff. We're that in between.
And I think we would look at each other ridiculous and it was like, no, just write me a letter. Well, just mail me that. We'd be like, what the fuck? Like, you want me to get on the Telegram, motherfucker? Like, this... Of course.
None of these people sent a card or a... card-like letter?
I don't think so. I recently got a card from Anna, who we did she was a Kickstarter supporter. We had a private silent trailers game with her.
I did too. I didn't know what to do with it because I'm not used to letters. You're right. I put it in my freezer.
It was so nice. But I was like, wait, do I have to send her a thank you for her thank you? Because I'm like, how do I acknowledge a letter? Like, do I email her, got your thank you, you know, or do I send something back and now it's a never ending Mike Kaplan cycle.
Right. We actually sent y'all a Christmas postcard or card or something, but it got returned.
Oh, damn.
But it got returned Friday.
What?
From Christmas? It just got returned now?
Yeah. We got that shit in March. I was like, I don't even know what happened to this. So...
I don't know, but thank God we weren't like, oh, yeah, we loved it.
Could have been an email is all I'm saying. You would have definitely got that. So
no, see, I like it. I think it's so sweet. But then I start feeling guilty. Carrie Gravenson sends, you know, thank you notes and letters. And I'm just like, but what do I do now? I have to acknowledge this thing. But I still like getting it.
I do, too. I like sending them low key. I always look forward to them. And then it's only once I'm folding them and sending them out that I'm like, fuck me, what was I thinking? This seemed like such a great idea for I do all this work. Q&A number 38.
Yes.
Newsy feels bad for listening to shows with horrible guests, but those are the ones we want to hear about. Do listen to the Pat Dixon episodes. What the fuck? Oh, let's listen to this delightful episode that everything went great on. No, thank you. Let's listen to the assholes and get a little behind the scenes, if you know what I mean.
Raise a toast to the douchebags.
Yeah. That's like if Alan versus Pharaoh was just about the vacations they took. No. We want the shit, dude. Keith, do you ever find yourself doing this? And I feel so callous when I do, when I have this thought. I find myself having this thought during these documentaries, man. But do you ever be like, get to the shit? You know what I mean? Like when they're like, we would go down to the lake and every summer, and they show like pictures of the trees. And
yeah, what I didn't mind in this Woody Allen one, because it's very important that you know how close that family is.
Right.
So that didn't bother me. But yes, even this could have been 2 hours as opposed to four.
I feel like a dick every time I think it, because I'm like, they're sharing their trauma. They want to slow walk us through what happened so that we get the vibe. And I'm just like, I don't even give a fuck about
it. Get to
trauma.
Where he touches the child.
And sometimes like an episode would repeat something. So like you didn't necessarily have to even see the last one. I'm like, there's only four parts. Assume we saw it.
Bam. That is my biggest thing. I'm like, that means this episode could have been 25 minutes.
We already covered that detective. We know he's on the side of good.
Oh, it's the fucking worst, man. Documentary. The only time I like those is if it's there's this documentary series called For My Man. It's like the black version of Snapped. Okay. But they just repeat the same 5 minutes for an hour.
Right.
And that allows me to do chores. So that's the only reason.
I never miss it.
I'm like, I'll go take a piss and be right back. And you come back and they're like, and that was like we were saying, how she shouldn't have went there. And we're like, yeah, she shouldn't have went there because she got killed. Anyway, I'm going to go get a snack. Like, I love that. But
you detail the car and you could do a book report on it.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm like, three things happened. The crimes are always really simple on For My Man. They don't deserve a full hour, but I appreciate the effort. Suck a Dick Wednesday came up during this show. Mm-hmm. Did y'all decide to stop doing Suck a Dick Wednesday for like a real, like a reason? Or is it just like the time passed and it faded out and you're like, fuck it?
I think it just faded out. I don't think it was necessarily, you know, political correctness or anything.
I don't think we had a meeting about it at all. Right. I think it's just, it comes and goes just like anything else in our speech.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
I never really thought about it. Like, Keith, you know what we haven't spoken about in a while? Let's make an announcement. It's Wednesday. People need a Suck a Dick Wednesday. Maybe I've moved on to stay, the adult steak and blowjobs day.
The Suck a Dick Wednesday start off by like, no one's going to do this. And then like, because y'all have such rabid fans, it's like, oh, they are going to do this. Maybe.
It started because Opie and Anthony had Whip 'Em Out Wednesday, and they would talk about, we're on the street, that people, you put up this WOW Whip About What, you're going to see tits from here to Chinatown, I'm seeing tits on the fucking highway, cars are crashing, tits are out. It just seemed laughable. And right. And also, like, what are you getting, tits? And so I'm like, we have one better. You see somebody keeping the girl's shirt and it's Suck a Dick Wednesday. The chick's just gonna blow. And of course, we thought it was goofy as fuck. And then people are, you know, hey, we're actually dating now. I wore a t shirt and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, that's funny as fuck. And then that was it.
Yeah.
But no, I never expected it to go anywhere.
If we're doing behind the scenes, we hired a PR company. They thought this would be a good idea to sell shirts. So.
Have you tried sucking dicks on Wednesday? Just put that bullet point down on the slide.
What's the middle of the week for you guys? I'll tell you where I'm getting at.
It's a Wednesday. Like there's a whole like advertising presentation like Mad Men. Right. It's a Wednesday. You're kind of feeling down. It's hump day. You know, you got to get through the week. So what do you do when you're listening to Keith and the girl?
It's good for, and then you move the giant piece of paper, right? Airplanes. You can do them on road trip stops.
Oh man, we used to make a joke on the show when back when the TV show Friend Zone was a thing. Y'all remember that?
I don't. Friend Zone?
Yeah, it's like an MTV show. It was always like a person that liked a person more than a friend, and the other person was oblivious, and then it was painstakingly awkward. The whole hour is just, you know, like, so I'm going to give her these flowers, and it's like, oh, thank you for the flowers, Jerome. You're my best friend. It's like, oh, Jesus. And so we would watch the show, and we would make this running joke of like, just whip your fucking dick out and like get rejected or don't get rejected. Just get it over with, right?
Right.
And then someone was like, yeah, man, so I'm really in a friend zone situation. You think I should whip my dick? I was like, no, whoa. Oh, I didn't know anyone was going to do these things. We take that all back. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah. Pat Dixon's therapist. I feel like Pat Dixon's therapist could be as easy a job as being a Trump lawyer. I think I could do that job. I think there's certain jobs that we pretend they're so fucking difficult to do, but like being a lawyer for a guilty person, gotta be easy. Like for a famous guilty person. Like I'm not just talking about like, you know, breaking it in. I mean like Harvey Weinstein. You know, you always hear these fucking defenses and they're always like, all these bitches lying. I'm like, I could have done that. I didn't go to school for any of this.
They're all lying.
Yeah. I feel like Pat Dixon's therapist. We could all do that job, you know? Yeah, they're all wrong. You got it, bro. That'll be $250 for the hour.
Yeah, they coached a 7-year-old for her to say she was raped. How do you coach a 7-year-old? They did. Dismissed. Yeah. I'm done here.
I think we all know what's going on here, y'all. This woman who is now a grown-up is still lying from being coached at 7, okay? Right. She don't mind the ridicule.
Right. All right. It's ruining her life, but in for a penny.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, who are the people? Like, that was a big clue when Pat was defending Woody Allen during the old days when we were breaking down Woody Allen being a piece of shit.
What a weird coincidence. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what, though? He was just so angry. I think anything we would have brought up that day, he just wanted to be anti-us. It was one of those where if we were on the fence afterwards, we were like, what the fuck is up with Pat Dixon?
Yeah.
Because now at this point...
That was happening more and more, yeah.
Yeah, like before he was kind of like, you know, I spoke before about this, that before one of the shows, he jabbed at me really fucking hard, was very insulting. And now, like, but that was behind the scenes. And like, I don't even know if Keith caught it that day. And then now he's even mad at Keith. And now he's even like letting loose on the show. And it becomes easier when that happens because it's like, oh, good, you're not hiding. So we don't have to like illuminate it in order for like it to be obvious. So it's almost like a relief. Like, oh, okay, you're just going to be an asshole now. Great.
Yeah. He was a progressive disease.
Yeah.
Because that's what I like about Q&A. Is it doesn't make me feel so crazy because when he goes back and listens, I'm like, there was a time when Pat wasn't as bad. Like he may have been as bad inside, right? But he wasn't as like,
of course.
Jesus, what the fuck? Do you want to be here? What is happening? Uh-huh. And then now it's like, oh yeah, it was a progressive worsening until it was like, okay, he's unsavable. So
oh yeah, that's another thing. He's like, I remember sending him an email going, hey, I was going to book you on the marathon, but last time you were here, didn't seem like you wanted to be here. A few people, you know, said that you said aggressive shit to them. And he was like, I can assure you I was joking if I was being anything. And I was like, okay, but, you know, you don't want to seem like you want to be here. I think it was at the marathon he treated some people like shit. Mm-hmm. And then we were talking about being on KTG week or something like that. And I'm like, so I was when people say like, hey, you guys were friends, I'm like, yeah. And I don't have to do this, but as a friend, I was like, hey, you feel weird. I don't have to fucking do that.
And what a weird fucking thing when people go, hey, what's the problem? You guys were friends. Like, then it's a bigger deal, right? You moron. Right. Yeah, he was in my house. it's a bigger deal now. Think about that.
That doesn't mean it can't happen. That's right. Like, hey guys, he was my husband.
Right.
You still want to hate? But that's what happened. That's what he was. And now he can't be.
And I think also, like, I hate the people that do that thing where you're like, so do we have some kind of issue? Because you're putting down you're doing all the things that people do when they have an issue with someone. And they're like, come on, man. We're just fucking around. And you're like, no, we're not. Because then the next time we hang out, we're fucking around very awkwardly in a mean way again. Right. Like, just stop answering my emails with everything's fine when it's not. I hate that shit.
Right.
And it's always from the people that promote themselves as being the opposite of that, right? Like, I don't tell you no shit. I fucking tell you this is how it really is. And you're like, you're not like that at all.
Right. And imagine getting an email from me like, hey, you feeling all right? Because last time you were in the studio, you didn't feel like you wanted to be here. You want to answer? Maybe you didn't. Right. What the fuck? I'm not saying like, what the fuck are you doing when you're in my house? That's not right. What I said.
I'm giving you the off-ramp of this highway of our friendship, and you're not taking it. But then somehow I'm still at fault for being like, so I guess we're cool and we'll see you Tuesday.
Right. But
you dicks. Bringing me back. Enjoying my company, trying to make things okay. Fuck them. Keith is so versatile. Thank you. I keep learning during Q&A.
Thanks.
Because he went from doodling during the show to doodling during the show. And I mean, who else has the range, honestly?
Thank you.
Name another podcaster that can give you both.
Let's see your doodle, Keith.
Well, apparently we talked about the post office. There's a couple of dicks there. Dylan is written there, and a sound wave.
Oh, I love it. Thank you. Are you doing anything with those? Are you collecting those?
Just for myself. I enjoy them at night. Like, how did today go? But then I don't save them after that.
I think that would be a good thing to give the fans. Mm. I think you should hold on to those, dude.
I'll keep it in mind. Thank you.
Can you please date it and show title?
Yes.
Like last week, number, whatever, and then date. I'm being serious.
I'm serious. Yeah, me and him are on the same wavelength right now. I'm dead serious. Azealia Banks just sold a sex tape for $27 million in whatever, Bitcoin or whatever, and it's an audio sex tape. It's not even a physical, there's no video. Yes, this is an audio-only sex tape.
Mm. Oh, I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. All right. And there's something, it's called NFT. There's some way that I authenticate these things, and these things are selling like hotcakes. I'm just saying there's got to be some kind of thing like that for what Keith is doing.
I drew fallopian tubes. That's probably hot.
Come on. You're going to get paid.
To a doctor, but...
Jack is going to be out there. He's going to be like, okay, you know what? It's time for me to start supporting the show.
And what if I write, I doodle, real personal shit, but legally I got to give them to the fans. I can't help it.
It's my social security.
Right. I'm like, shit, I was doodling. It's the end. It's the end of the show. Pen down.
Oh, my God. All right. Last thing. Last week, 138, because I do listen.
Oh, okay.
And I do think it's important to recap. I love Keith Steve Harvey impression. Has it been nominated for a CACTA yet?
I don't believe it has. It works without the visuals?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's perfect because I know Keith Steve Harvey's face.
Right.
So I already imagine it as you're doing the impression. And I'm with Karen on it. Steve Harvey, as host of that show, is National Treasure.
Sure.
Wow.
Honestly, it makes me sad that he ever did anything else. Because if he only did that,
right,
everyone would be like, this motherfucker's the best. But then he has to be like, well, now that you're listening, I think ladies should keep their legs closed. You're like, no, you had it. You were in the spot. You found where your talent should be. In looking at people saying stupid things and overreacting, and then us as America looking at you overreact. That was your whole, you were the Kenan Thompson in a sketch level of perfect.
Yeah.
And he fucking did other shit. Don't do other shit.
He's like, oh, is it a Family Feud commercial break? Let me explain how the devil started stuttering.
No, Steve. You are so perfect. This guy said something dumb. And then you did a whole lap around everyone
lap
in the studio.
Sorry, I didn't mean my favorite cheese is cheesecake. I meant, but no, stop.
No,
stop. No. What? Everybody? You're telling me this motherfucker. I go, what's your favorite cheese? Motherfucker's telling me. You shut your mouth. You shut your fucking mouth. I said, you were all here, right? I said, what is your favorite cheese? This motherfucker goes, hold on. Cheesecake. I'm sorry, Steve. How can we get on with our lives? Hold on.
It's so good. And then after all that shit, he still is like, show me cheesecake. Like, I keep
going on that shit. He's still got to legally ask if it's on the board.
My favorite is when it's on there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because then he's like, a whole you nother, son of a bitch. Right.
Yeah, you know, there's a whole nother act out of it. It was actually on there.
Right.
This stupid motherfucker got a whole bunch of other stupid motherfuckers taking our poll.
And his other move is if anybody makes a joke, he goes, oh, you're making jokes now. Who's the comic? This guy's the comic now.
I like when you can tell, because I think, I don't know if every household does this, but definitely black households. I like when it's a black family versus a white one, and you can tell Steve's rooting for the black family, but then the black family fucks up. He's just like, you just fucking lost. Like, you right. So fucking, you blew it for all of black America today with this stupid ass answer. Show me cheesecake.
And the black versus white family really confused Donald Trump. Do you remember? This is true. He wanted to do, what was that show he had? The Apprentice. He wanted to do an Apprentice with white celebrities against black celebrities.
What?
He's like, what's the problem? Family Feud does it. I'm like, well, they're families, Steve. Some of
it. Holy or shit. Trump. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It didn't go anywhere, obviously, but yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's.
Well, he ended up doing it, Keith.
Right, right.
Yeah, he just did it with America.
Yeah. America, Family Feud style.
I think there's good people on both sides.
Right.
America. Wow.
Oh, sorry, Jack. I tried not to be political. We kind of ended on a political note. But we were close.
Cheesecake. I mean, you just got to bring it up and then...
You know, I'm lactose intolerant. That's another political thing.
You would be intolerant.
Listen, I'm trying my best. Shout out to Mike Kaplan, okay? Because if you don't eat carbs, you're also lactose intolerant. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back. We'll be back when Him Understands That Joke in 2 weeks. All right. thanks for listening. And thanks for having me. I've been your host. And this has been Last Week on Keeping the Girl.